Soaring past without even the slightest bobble in his chair, Fortitude noticed the barge was so crowded that some of the Ungoy had been forced to sit with their stubby legs dangling over its low gunwales, a capacity violation, to be sure. As the barge leveled off and continued its barely controlled fall to the still foggy, methane-rich districts on the dome's floor, Fortitude wondered if the overcrowding was an isolated problem or an indication that the Ungoy were, once again, reproducing beyond legal limits. Overpopulation was a constant concern for the Covenant, given how many of its creatures lived on ships or other space-based habitats. The Ungoy were especially prodigious breeders, and while this benefited the Covenant military roles, it was also the case that the only thing that put an appreciable dent in their numbers was war. In times of peace and without proper oversight, the Ungoy's inherent lack of reproductive restraint had proven to be quite dangerous. As a junior staffer in the Ministry of Concert, the institution tasked with the arbitration of interspecies disputes, Fortitude had handled a case that dealt directly with this issue, uncovered a scandal that resulted in the dismissal of that ministry's leadership, and taught him a valuable lesson about the fragility of the Covenant, how easy it was to grow complacent about various species' petty squabbles, and how quickly this complacency might lead to disaster. The case involved a complaint by an Ungoy distillers union that faulty atmospheric controls aboard Kigyar merchant vessels had tainted multiple batches of infusions, recreational narcotics Ungoy added to their portable methane supplies. At first glance, the dispute seemed trivial, which was undoubtedly why it ended up on Fortitude's docket. But as he delved deeper, he discovered the contamination had resulted in widespread Ungoy sterility. At the time of the case, the Covenant had passed many peaceful ages, and a growing Ungoy population had put pressure on the habitats they shared with Kigyar. Strained at the best of times, relations between the two species took a turn for the worst, as female Kigyar were displaced from their nests, relocations that stressed incubation cycles and caused a spike in Kigyar infant mortality. Fortitude advised his superiors that the tainting of infusions was bold vigilantism, an attempt by radical Kigyar shipmasters who believed Ungoy births were causing Kigyar deaths to mete out their own justice. Much to Fortitude's surprise, the Minister of Concert chose not to impose any of his recommended stiff penalties. Fines were assessed and damages paid, but the guilty shipmasters avoided imprisonment. Indeed, after making repairs to their vessels and proving they were safe, the Ministry allowed them back in service. Fortitude held no special place in his heart for Ungoy, but a strong sense that justice had not been served led him to lodge a formal complaint. His superiors rebuffed him, arguing that a few thousand impotent Ungoy wasn't worth doing anything that might inflame the Kigyar's endemic autonomous urge. The Ungoy would soon recoup their losses, Fortitude's superiors had concluded, and in the meantime, any junior who cared about the progress of his career would be wise to shut his lips. No one had known that the infusion incident, as it came to be known, was the most important of many small grievances that precipitated the Ungoy Rebellion, a civil war that ushered in the Covenant's 39th age of conflict and brought about a radical restructuring of the Covenant armed forces. In the short but nasty fight that resulted in the near razing of the Ungoy homeworld, the creatures proved that properly motivated, they were vicious fighters. Honoring a tradition of welcoming the best of their defeated foes into their ranks, the same Sengeli commanders that crushed the rebellion were quick to forgive the surviving Ungoy fighters. They gave them better training and weapons and integrated them into formerly all Sengeli units, actions that elevated the methane breathers from cannon fodder to competent infantry. Some San Shum had lingering doubts about the Ungoy's loyalty, but the writ of union was very clear. Security matters were the Sangeli's responsibility. And if the prophets had learned anything about keeping their prideful protectors happy, it was the importance of letting them preserve as many of their pre-covenant traditions as possible. Even in his youth, Fortitude had understood that while something like the Ungoy Rebellion might temporarily destabilize the Covenant, a Sangeli revolt would shatter it. A vertical line of triangular holographic symbols flashed above one of Fortitude's armrests, jarring him from his thoughts. The symbols were letters from the Covenant's common written language, and he immediately recognized the name they announced.
"Whatever you must say, Vice Minister."
Fortitude pressed one of his throne's switches to accept the incoming signal.
"Endeavor to keep your voice low."
The symbols dispersed, and in their place a Sun Shum appeared in miniature. Even in holographic form, it was easy to see that the Vice Minister of Tranquility was many ages Fortitude's junior. His skin was darker, more brown than tan, and his waddle wasn't heavy enough to have sagged all the way to his chin. Two of the fleshy balls hung from the corners of his mouth. These were pierced with golden loops, a rakish affectation popular with male San Shum who had not yet committed to a single mate.
"Is it too early?"
The Vice Minister sat far forward in his cushionless chair, his fingers wrapped tightly around its dull metal armrests.
"I would have called last evening, were it not for the conclave."
Tranquility paused, his large glassy eyes almost bursting from his head. Then, in a jumbled failure of propriety,
"I wonder if this morning, now, in fact, it would be possible to meet and discuss something of vital..."
Fortitude cut the Vice Minister off with an impatient wave.
"I haven't checked my schedule, but I'm sure it's quite full." "I will be brief, you have my word,"
Tranquility persisted.
"In fact, it's not so much what I have to say as what I have to show you."
His fingers drummed against his chair's armrests, and his image was suddenly replaced by a single Forerunner glyph. Illumination, Fortitude realized, his slumped shoulders stiffening with shock.